Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, who joins us weekly. The films, The Silent Twins, Our American Family, and Funny Pages. Hi, David.
Hi, Jill. How are you doing?
I don't know. How are The Silent Twins?
Well, you're about to find out. The Silent Twins, I think, is a really, really good movie. I think it's one of the best movies of the year so far. And we're getting along in this year, so maybe it'll end up on a 10 best list at the end of the year. Some critics aren't liking it so much, I think, in part, for reasons that I like it, but that's often the way it goes. The Silent Twins is, in fact, a story of a couple of twins who are not always silent, but often they are silent. And they are girls, and their names are, well, they eventually grow up in the movie, but their names are June Gibbons and Jennifer Gibbons. And their parents immigrated to Wales from the Caribbean, so they are black girls. And they grew up in Wales and in England. And they are identical twins. In the movie, they're played by different sets of actors who don't look especially identical. But I guess that finding actual identical twins who could play these challenging roles was just too much for the filmmakers. So anyway, they're identical twins, not played by identical twins. But we see them at different stages of life. And they are... They have what is reputed to be, in some twins, this kind of private communication system. In fact, from some of the early reports on this movie, I had the impression it was going to be about twins who develop their own sort of secret language. It's not about that. They don't have a secret language where they speak to each other in made-up words and stuff like that. But they do seem to communicate with one another on some sort of a nonverbal or semi-verbal level and don't talk with the outside world for long stretches of time. So, of course, they are immediately labeled as psychologically very, very troubled people. And, in fact, they are on some levels. Now, this all interests me because, as you very well know, Jill, my sons are identical twins. And they never, as far as I'm aware, had their own private system of communication. And they never went for, boy, they sure weren't silent and still aren't. They never went through long periods of not really talking. So my twins were very different from these twins, but of course that's why there's a movie about these twins, June and Jennifer Gibbons, because they were very strange and in some ways troubled individuals. So we see them as children when they go through these long stretches of not talking with anybody in the outside world, and then maybe when they're in their own room together with each other, they talk a lot, and they have a lot of things to talk about, and then they go back and they're in contact with other people, including their parents, and they don't talk again. And then they go off to school, and that's very, very difficult, and a school that they go to has just a terrible trouble trying to communicate with them. And then they get a bit older and they turn out to be really difficult people. They cause trouble. They cause physical destruction to places that they are in. They're obviously very troubled for reasons which never entirely become clear in the movie, and that's okay with me. I don't think that it is the responsibility of a fiction, and this fiction, by the way, is based very much on fact, so I don't think it's the responsibility of a fiction, even if it's based on fact, to always give us the answers to everything. In life, we often don't know the answers to things. So I think it's just fine that the movie never attempts to give us cooked up psychological answers for their silence or for their physical destructiveness later on in life. At one point, fairly well into the movie, they actually get consigned to the infamous and notorious Broadmoor Mental Institution in England, which is a place for really, really, really mentally disturbed people. And they live there for quite some time. And of course, during this period and other periods as well, they are separated from each other. And that is exceedingly difficult for them because they are twins and they are enormously close and they do connect in some way which is not just on the level of talking to one another. We get to see what happens to them when they're separated. And that is really, really traumatic. And then eventually the whole story wends its way to a conclusion, which I won't give away. It, like much of the rest of the movie, is to some extent troubling and to some extent consoling. The movie does have a fairly complicated ending, which is based on the real life situation that's going on here. So Again, The Silent Twins is based on a real case history, which was written up by an investigative reporter named Marjorie Wallace, turned it into a book. And the screenplay of this movie was written by somebody I know, Andrea Siegel, although I didn't realize this until after I had seen the movie. But I think it's an extraordinarily good screenplay, beautifully, beautifully done. And the movie was directed by Agnieszka Smoczynska. And here I have a bit of a complaint, just a bit of a one. The movie is sort of tricked out with animation sequences and just sort of little whimsical digressions that are meant apparently to get across the simultaneously troubled and sort of antic personalities of the twins through, you know, cartoonery and an animation and that sort of thing. And I didn't think these were bad because the twins themselves have sort of schizoid personalities, and the movie itself, because of this, has a sort of schizoid personality. And I think it's in keeping. I think that the movie's style is in keeping with the subject of the movie, but I could have done without at least some of those. I bet there's a bit too much of them. That said, most of the movie is beautifully directed. It's beautifully acted by the different sets of actors who take on the roles of June and Jennifer Gibbons. And I just found it an engrossing movie. It's a mysterious film. We never really find out what was going on with these two, why they reacted to their twinhood and to the racism that they encounter because they are black, to various stresses in their lives. They seem to have a nice family, but there are stresses. Why they reacted in these bizarre ways by going silent for long stretches. And we certainly get a very strong sense of the tremendous efforts that many of the adults around them try to get them out of this private world of theirs, and how this really does not succeed very well most of the time. Anyway, as I say, the movie does not offer answers to this, because I don't think anybody has answers. Human personality, especially human personalities that interact with each other in bizarre ways, ways that seem to most of us bizarre at least, are mysterious things. And I think the movie does well to leave a bit of mystery about this. The movie is beautifully acted, beautifully put together. I totally recommend it. Again, one of the best movies so far this year, The Silent Twins. Next of all, Jill, because our three films today are very different from each other, we turn to a documentary, Our American Family. And right from the title, this movie is clearly modeled on something that arrived way back in 1971. It was a TV documentary series called An American Family. And oh, back when that was on in the early 70s, everybody was talking about it. It was a big deal. And it was really kind of a groundbreaking series, because of course what the filmmakers did was they took cameras into the lives of a real family, and they just recorded all kinds of things that happened in the daily lives of the different members of this family. And it was a very, very interesting thing. I only caught up with it years later, but really interesting. Again, it broke new ground. Of course, this sort of documentary, there's always something about it which is inauthentic. Because like the old uncertainty principle, when you film something, when you go into a house, for example, with cameras, when you follow people around with cameras, of course you are altering their behavior as well as recording it. And that's a problem that's built into all documentaries about very personal subjects, even the great documentaries of a great documentarian such as Frederick Wiseman, for example. So An American Family was flawed in that way back in the early 70s, but it was a very, very interesting and engrossing series, which I certainly had a good time watching. Our American Family picks up on the same sort of idea, although it's only a feature film. It's not an hours and hours and hours long series. And what we have is a Philadelphia family which is absolutely plagued with substance abuse. Different substances, too. These people have real, real problems with addiction. And, you know, alcohol and various different kinds of drugs. And there's different generations which are plagued with this. And what the movie does is to probe this and try to get inside the personalities of these people, and simply to show what it's like when you have a family where you have multiple generations, not many of them, but you have a couple of generations who are absolutely plagued by substance abuse and who are struggling to overcome this, some of them with some success, some of them without any success, at least not so far. Eventually, the most problematic member of the family does appear to be making real, real, real progress. But we get to see what it's like. We get to feel what it's like. And again, you can't take this as 100% authentic, because of course the people are always aware that they are being filmed and sound recorded. But it's a really, really interesting view into the very private lives of these people. And of course it deals with a real crippling social problem that is around all of us every day, whether or not it immediately touches our lives at any given period. So, Our American Family, I can't say it's a great film. By the way, it was directed by the team of Hallie Edelman and Sean King O'Grady, who do a very nice job. It's not a great film. It doesn't really probe the innards of these people or of their family dynamics, but it gives us a very vivid picture of them. And I would say, more than being an insightful analysis of problems of substance abuse and drug addiction and so forth, rather than being an insightful analysis, it's just more of a plunge into it for the viewer. And we just get a sense of what this feels like and the terrible tensions. One of the main characters in the movie is the stepfather of the family, who is not plagued with all of this, and we see him struggling to just maintain some kind of patience with all this stuff that's going on around him in the family that he has chosen to join. He's in a way a minor character of the film, but he's one of the most interesting characters. I found him very intriguing. In any case, again, it's not a movie that necessarily helps you understand why people get into these situations or even how they're going to get out of them. It just shows people who are really coping to deal with and to overcome serious physical and psychological problems of substance abuse. And if it's a subject that interests you, then I strongly recommend Our American Family. Not a great movie, but a necessary movie, and one that just reminds us that this problem is all around us all the time, and that we're never going to get away from it as long as society continues on its present course. And there are some really interesting characters in this documentary as well. Final movie today, Jill, again, very, very different. But again, you know, in a way, all these movies do have one thing in common. They're all about kind of troubled people. Funny Pages, which, again, I found one of the, if not one of the best, certainly one of the better movies to come forth this year, written and directed by a new filmmaker named Owen Klein. And it's just quite fascinating. It is about a young man whose name is Robert. And he is a very, very gifted cartoonist, comic strip writer. Funny Pages, I see, as sort of an old-fashioned term, sort of term that was used when I was a kid, which is a long time ago. But I guess it's still around. And Robert is very, very good at this stuff, and he has a teacher at school who deals with this stuff, cartooning and comics, which one would spell with an X, because it's that sort of comics, kind of like the underground comics. And he sort of wants to be a mentor to Robert and wants to help Robert develop and grow, and says to Robert, you ought to drop out of school right away and just do this stuff full time. You're really brilliant at it. And then something really traumatic happens in the very, very early part of the movie. And Robert has to sort of set off on a new course to some extent. And eventually what happens is he moves out of his family's home. They certainly don't understand him. And he moves into what has to be the worst apartment in the whole world. He himself comes from a very lovely middle-class home. But he moves into this rotten apartment where he has a totally eccentric landlord who, by the way, lives in what's basically a room right along with him. And he encounters these other very bizarre characters who are just like him. They are loners. They don't fit in. They are maladjusted to life itself. And then he makes another friend who is also a would-be cartoonist whose name is Miles. And anyway, we have these different characters, and they are strange, and they are bizarre, and they are funny. This is a movie, after all, about Funny Pages. And we have poor Robert trying to find some direction in life. He really does have a talent for this, but oh gee, he has a lot of difficulties along the way. The movie is a comedy. It is a drama. It is about a young person trying to come to grips with a talent that he, I think, doesn't fully understand. But it's not a heavy movie. It's a very, very light movie, and it's full of laughs and stuff like that. Now, one thing which I found a little bit troubling about the movie, it didn't bother me, but it bothers a lot of people who watch this movie, and that is that a lot of the characters, they are very unappealing characters. Again, they're maladjusted to the world. They don't get along with all the people around them, and they're not on successful career paths and all that sort of thing. And they are played by actors who are sort of deliberately unattractive. They do not fit our conventional standards of movie beauty. And sometimes this becomes so pronounced that it borders on exploitation. We see sort of funny-looking people playing funny-looking people, and part of the point of it is that we sit there and we watch the film and we say, oh my, what funny-looking people. Well, that's not the ideal response to have to a movie. And some people really feel that this movie exploits these actors, exploits these characters, and does not allow them all the dignity that is their due simply as well-meaning human beings in the world. This didn't bother me so much because I felt the movie deals with it in just interesting and funny and dramatic ways. And I had a very good time watching Funny Pages, even with a little bit of uncomfortableness here and there along the way about the sort of semi-quasi tiny bit of exploitation reason that I mentioned. Aside from that, I think the movie is terrific. I had a great time watching it. It's eccentric, it's bizarre, it's crazy, it's funny. And I recommend Funny Pages for anybody who has any interest whatever in the wonderful world of bizarre underground comics. And that is my somewhat varied story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as always and ever, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films The Silent Twins, Our American Family, and Funny Pages.